I want to look this morning to the book of James, if you're there. This is that time of the year where Scott and I play tag. He does part of the lesson, I come back and finish it. And then I get ahead of him, and he tries to fill in the blanks next Sunday morning. It happens. But I'm hoping that I can do a little bit of where he's probably going next week and do my thing as well. There's a lot of difference between he and I. I'm just a preacher. I just, as a pastor, I'm more of an evangelist style preaching than I am a teacher. Brother Scott's on the opposite. He does the teaching, and I love to hear him teach. So you get a little bit of both worlds when it comes to that. So I appreciate him. Appreciate his hard work. Appreciate all of you. At one time, it was taking about 40 people to run this place on a regular basis. And I think now we're probably capping about 30 again. Some things we're not doing as we were doing, but it takes a lot of people to make it happen. And we wouldn't have anything to do if y'all didn't show up. But we appreciate y'all being here, showing up today. James chapter number 1. This scripture caught my attention because of what it says. And then where I feel like I'm going with the message this morning. The book of James 1 and verse 17 says these words. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Our Father, we thank you, God, even now, for the word of God that you put in my heart for this moment and for this time. Father, I pray, God, that even now that you would take my feeble attempt of doing the very thing that you've put in my heart today, and Lord, just anoint me to be able to deliver what you've put in my heart. Father, I thank you for it. I give you praise for it, and I give you glory for it. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's a couple of different words for the word gift in the New Testament. One of those words is mentioned here in James. The word gift here in the book of James means the object of what is given. And this is what James was talking about when he talked about this gift in the book of James, chapter verse 17. That we all know here this morning that Jesus is that gift. And we are so thankful for that gift. And then when you get into another part, and I'll get into a little bit later, probably about 2:30, 2:45 this evening, we get into that other part, and it talks about the word gift as the word grace. So you tie these things together, and we can see that Jesus was this wonderful gift for humanity. And then we think about, what is that gift? Well, it was the grace that you and I received because of the gift that God gave. We read in the scripture in a variety of different places about what Jesus Christ came to do. And I'll get into a lot more of that shortly. But I was thinking this week about Christmas. There's an old song, I think this Crosby guy or something like that, used to sing this song, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas." If you could dream a Christmas this year, what would that Christmas look like? Would it be a new house? Would it then be a new car? And would it be new clothes? Would it be a new stereo? Would it be a new gun? Would it be this or would it be that? New fishing pole? I'm not saying any of those things would be wrong. But I brought my own gift today. I don't know how many people have actually looked at this gift today and wonder, what in the world is in this? See, a gift is something that we anticipate, right? A gift is something that we are somehow like this one. Matter of fact, she's the hardest one that I've ever been able to try to keep anything from. Because if you put a gift under the tree, she'll sneak and she'll try to find out what it is. Me, I'll put it over and I'll leave it alone and not even think about it until it's time to. It don't even cross my mind. Not her. It's an anticipation factor. Now, I don't know how many of y'all were like this when you were kids, and I guess I've got to go back into my memoirs for just a few minutes as I begin to front them what it is for kids today. I promise you that. I was telling Sherry, we were eating supper together. Imagine that, eating supper with your wife. That's cool, ain't it? We were eating supper yesterday and had a few minutes to talk together, and I was telling her what I'm getting ready to tell you. Because, see, kids today, they have a perception of what they should get for Christmas, not what you can get them or what you can afford or what they get. They have an expectation that they want you to meet, and all the parents in the room said, amen. And we as parents, we do the very thing we can for our children, and Danielle said it perfect, because we love our children. We want to give them a gift. We want to give them something. We want them to be pleased with the gift. I remember as a kid, I anticipated a lot of stuff. I don't know if my mom's watching or not, but she can remember this. I remember as a kid when I was like 7 and 8 year old. Not so much when I was 9, 10, 11, 12 and on up. But just when I'm 7 and 8 and 9 year old, when it seems like you're in that those childhood years, them impressionable years and things you remember. I remember several things that my mom did. I thought, well, I love my mom. Anybody love your mom? She might be gone on to heaven, but come on. She was your mom. My mom always gave me the best gift that she had four kids. She always gave me the best gift that she possibly could. Now, I didn't have a fancy red stocking by the fireplace. You know what I had? Who said sock? Several of you. I had a tube sock. Y'all know what a tube sock is? It's a long sock. There might be an orange in it. There might be an apple in it. There might be a piece of candy or a nut or something in it. And one of the things that my mom always did was she went to Sky City. Anybody remember Sky City? I'm dating today, Anna. She went to Sky City and she bought these great big peppermint sticks about that big around and about that long. There was four of us kids, so, you know, that's hard to get a hold of. So she would put one of those great old big peppermint sticks in that tube sock. And we didn't know what a Christmas stocking was. We just thought it was cool to get up on Christmas morning and go get an orange or an apple or a nut or something like that. And that great old big peppermint stick, I remember that as a kid. I remember at Lay's, I know there wasn't Lay's department stores down here. This was going way back in the 70s. For those of you that wonder how old I am, I still remember the 70s every now and then. Have flashbacks. I was always playing in the dirt. I was always playing in the dirt pile. I've always been an outdoor person. I've never been a bookworm. I've never been one that would sit indoors. I can't. It's not who I am. I can't even sit indoors now. I have to go do and I have to be busy. That's just who I am. For me to sit down and study for 2 hours, I have to get up and go do something else for a while. I just can't sit there. Some people can sit there 8 hours. That's just not me. And I remember as a kid, this time, because I played outside, I wanted a stump jumper. Somebody said, what in the world's a stump jumper? Well, it's a monster truck. Don't have a motor in it. It didn't go when you moved it. I seen it at late. No remote control. You pushed it and you made your own sound. Any men in the house remember? It was purple. And I saw that stump jumper. And oh, I wanted that stump jumper. I don't know if my mom's listening. No, I don't even know how she impressed me. I wanted that stump jumper. And guess what? That's all I said. Guess what happened? Christmas morning, guess what? That stump jumper was under the tree. It was a wonderful gift, and it was one of them things where you see your parents giving you the best gift that they possibly could give you. Back in my day, you didn't kick it out the door and complain about it. You were just thankful you had anything. You were blessed. I began to thinking about this Christmas. I'm dreaming of a Christmas. What kind of Christmas would you have if you could have that type of Christmas? In other words, if this box was empty, and if this box represented the type of Christmas that you could have, what would be in your gift today? What would you be able to look at this morning and say, that's the perfect Christmas gift? Y'all with me? I thought about that. And I thought about Jesus, and I thought about the cross. I thought about God's gift to humanity. I thought about this gift that God gave you and this gift that God gave me. I pray to the good Lord above that I never get my eyes off of what Jesus has done for us. We can talk about a lot of stuff these days. People talk about politics these days. I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to do that. But this one guy that we all know his name that I will not mention today, and I didn't know whether to do this or not. I didn't know. But I was compelled to go ahead with it. Because this one person that we all know said a few days ago that we're all going to be very disappointed this Christmas. Because you might as well face it. You're not going to get what you want this Christmas or this year. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know if he's talking about cargo ships off the coast of San Francisco or in the Gulf or somewhere else. He don't control this gift. This gift was given to you, and this gift was given to me 2,000 years ago on the cross called Calvary. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you today, there is a gift that exceeds anything that man can do. That man that I just made mention of, that I mentioned no names, he can't ruin your Christmas as long as you've got Jesus in your heart. It's not about what you get under a tree. It's about what's going on the inside of your heart. And again, I don't want to be the one to be a party pooper per se. There's this guy can't steal your joy. Joy comes from the Lord. The Bible, if you look in James, the scripture that I mentioned, he said that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You know, I don't understand today, people. I don't understand today, people that don't want to accept this gift. If I was going to give you this gift, see, you don't know what's in this. There could be a $100 bill in it. There could be nothing in it. There could be a whole lot of hot air in it. But somebody would say, hey, I'll take it, preacher. I'll take it, I'm a taker. If we're so eager to get something that you don't even know what's in the box, why would we not want to spend all eternity in heaven? See, the Bible in the book of Romans, let's start there. Romans 6. If you go into Romans 6, you look in verses 23 and 24. It describes this like this. We've read it. It says, for the wages of sin is death. We know that. What does that mean? That means that the payment of your sins is death. Not only did Adam and Eve die that spiritual death, but it was passed from that point even now unto man, that every man in this room, every woman in this room, we don't want to talk about that, preacher. We want to talk about only the good things. We don't want to talk about the simple fact that somewhere along the journey that we're all going to face this thing called death. But in all regard to that scripture, we all are only going, watch this, we are only going to face death, watch this, in the physical. Because you're not going to face death in the spiritual realm. You say, what in the world? Because you're going to live forever somewhere, according to the Bible. And the last time I done a checkup from the neck up, they wasn't but two places to go. So you got to think about that. So God gave you and I the perfect gift. See, God's unconditional love. We think about God's unconditional love. God's unconditional love is that God did not give man what he wanted, but he gave man what he knew he needed. And that's the way unconditional love, the love of God, is. For the wages, the price of sin is death. But he says, but the gift of God is the gift. Now, when I looked this word up, gift, when I looked it up in the dictionary, in the concordance, in the Strong's, this gift is the same word as charis. It's the same word as what? Grace. Think about the grace of God. You think about the grace of God. The scripture says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ doing on your behalf, on my behalf, and doing what you and I do not have the abilities to even comprehend or to be able to do within ourselves. By grace are you saved through faith. It is by the simple grace of God. The Bible said it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the simple grace of God. God may not give you a mansion here on this earth. You may not have a brand new this Christmas or a brand new that this Christmas. But I tell you, my friend, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the gift of God is Jesus Christ, ransomed on Calvary to pay the penalty of all humanity. And you can have this gift called eternal life today if you desire it. The gift, the grace of God. He talks about the grace of God. The gift of God is eternal life. Somebody says, am I going to live forever? Absolutely, you're going to live forever. Think about that. Now, I want you to really give a good thinking about that. I know I talk country boy. I know I do, because I am a country boy. I don't have any other way to do it. But I want you to give a good thinking to that. That's country term. Think about it. Just think about it a while. Eternal life. Look at the options. Look at the options. I mean, God sending His best gift. As I was talking about my mom and all that while ago, she gave her best gift. She gave me a stump jumper. She gave me what I wanted and what I needed. And the very desire of her heart was to make her little boy happy. She had three more besides me. I told Sherry yesterday, I said, one of the things that I realized, my mom and dad, now some of you growing up raised tobacco. Okay? Where I grow up, we raised backer. I mean, this English thing's been a challenge for me. They would take tobacco money. I remember my daddy giving my mama $100 of tobacco money when the tobacco sold. Backer money, and she spent it on the kids, four kids, $25 a piece for $100 for our Christmas. Somebody says, that's a whole lot of money back in the day. I can tell you how much it was. Are y'all ready? She gave all she had. God bankrupt heaven. I feel him in the house. And gave everything he had, and the only thing that he could give that would ever satisfy the sin debt for you and for me. Well, let's talk about that for a few more minutes. Let's talk about it. Huh. When I get like this, it ain't that I ain't got something to say. I'm just basking in the sunshine. The S-O-N. He's good to us, folks. So what are we looking at today? First of all, we're looking at God's gift to humanity as an incredible gift. It's incredible. It's an incredible gift. Somebody says, oh man, I got a brand new yacht for Christmas. It's incredible. Coming right on my... I hope nobody's getting a yacht. I'm not talking about you. I promise. I don't know. I don't know anything about nothing like that. I promise. If you did get a brand new yacht, I'm available. Okay. But if you you think about those things. And people talk about what we get on this earth as mind blowing. That is incredible. And you talk to folks about, Jesus saved my soul. Oh, happy day. I've got eternal life. Yeah, and what else? I'm telling you, folks, this morning, I pray that Jesus settles in this room and we understand that if we're going to live eternity somewhere, we might as well live it in heaven. Amen? God gave us His incredible gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way is death is the way thereof. There's a way that seems right. Well, I'm a good moral person. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with girls who do. I'm telling you, I don't do all of those things. I'm a good moral somebody. If you were going to get into heaven by being a good moral somebody, God's word would have said, all you got to do is be a good moral somebody. Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be deep here for a second. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you've got to be born again. This gift, Jesus, provided a way for you and for me to be born again. You say, well, preacher, I don't want all that religious jabber. I don't want all that religious stuff. You know what? I don't really even want all that religious stuff either. But I just want a good, wholesome relationship with Jesus. I want to know when I lay my head on my pillow at night, that my sins are under the blood, that I've been redeemed. I don't have to worry about going to a devil's hell. I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because I have accepted the gift. Now, gift, grace, is something that is not merited. It is something that is not earned. I like what Jensen Franklin said years ago. He said, I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. It's a gift of God. It's just like me taking, I ain't giving this away. Rip. I'm not yet anyway. I'm holding on to it for a while. But it's just like giving you a gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't do anything to merit it. But God just simply says, I'm sending my son because I know what man needs more than they do. God did not give you and I what we wanted, like a bunch of spoilt little youngins with our lip poked out. God gave us what He knew we needed. So first of all, we see that it's an incredible gift. God's also many. It's a free gift. And then we see here in the Scripture, not only is it an incredible gift, but in 2 Corinthians 9, 14 and 15, it describes this gift as an indescribable gift. Somebody says, can you just tell me about your salvation? Can you just testify? Can you just tell me how sweet it is to serve Jesus? Can you just tell me how good it is? It's an indescribable gift. I can tell Dallas all day long about my experience with God. I can tell him how it happened. I can tell him where I was at. I can tell him what was going on in my life when that took place. I've tried my very best to describe it to him or to anybody. But God is one of those things that has, it's got to go beyond just being told as an indescribable thing, even though it is indescribable, and I'll get back into that in a minute. But it's got to be experienced. And I'm so thankful that God is an experiential God, that you can experience Him. And you don't need to put this one up there because I don't want to lose my place there. But you know and I know what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. That if any man be in Christ, what is it? He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That don't mean that you won't never have a problem again. That don't mean that you won't ever have a challenge again. It don't mean that you won't never have another bad day. It just means that the nature inside of your own heart has been changed. And now you have a heart like His and a heart to serve God. God wants to do a heart surgery in the spiritual context. And God wants to take that old heart, that old man, and God wants you to give you a heart like His. Again, it's an indescribable gift. When we look at this, He says, I want to make sure that I'm in the right place, Kathy. I guess I am. And it said, by their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. In other words, Paul was looking at their lives and Paul was rejoicing and Paul was celebrating to the Corinthians what an indescribable work that God had done in their heart. And then the next verse, this is what he says about. He says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Another translation actually uses the word the wonder of this gift. And the as you look at it, it talks about the unspeakableness of this gift. So we have the incredible gift. We have the indescribable gift. Again, Paul says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. In other words, when he uses that word unspeakable gift, he says, watch this, I love this. He said that the wonder of God's work in your life is so wonderful that it is very complex and complicated even to be able to put into context. Isn't it amazing how God can take an old black heart? How that God can take a heart that's been filled with sin and God can wash your heart, my heart, in red blood, and God can make you and I white as snow. And somebody said, well, preacher, I just don't get this faith thing. I just don't understand it. Can I just tell you like this? It's all God. The Bible says that whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. He uses that word, whosoever. It's not restricted to creed. It's not restricted to color. It's not restricted to country or anything that I can mention. You say, well, I don't understand this whole spiritual thing about Jesus. I don't understand that. It's only by faith. It's God's gift. If you were going to get this gift here this morning, what would you do with it? You say, well, I don't know what it is. And I said that to say this. The Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of the man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Until you experience Him, you have no idea what this gift is all about. Somebody says, I don't get it, I don't understand. I heard it said years ago, Brother Beckner said, I don't understand a whole lot of stuff. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk. But I'm not going to eat dry cereal either, just because I don't understand it. There's a lot about God I don't understand. But I'm glad that when I nailed it an altar of prayer, the thing I didn't understand, God began to show it to me. Only God's only wanting an opportunity in your life today. Third thing, short message. Third thing is simply this. He talks about an incredible gift. And then he talks about, in the scripture, we'll turn to a few places here, that is an indescribable gift. It's an unspeakable. And then it's an indefinite gift. In other words, to be limited to, can't read my writing. Well, I'll make up a word. I don't know if Scott's ever done that or not. Indefinite means to not be limited to equality. You cannot compare to anything else. I don't know what word I wrote down, to be honest. It looked like pig Latin to me. You cannot compare him. You cannot compare him. In Ephesians chapter number 2, he talks about this in the scripture. Ephesians 2, Paul again was writing this, and this actually goes along with this word. I don't know how I didn't write it down correct, but Ephesians 2, and again, you can look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 following. I'm not going to do all of that as Jody comes. And he says in Ephesians 2 and 8, I love this scripture. She don't need to turn back there, but Ephesians 2 and 1 talks about when we were in our trespasses and our sins. It talks about that. That Christ died and Christ gave us the most wonderful gift. You say, what's in your box, preacher? That's interesting. She got it. Whatever you need. She wrapped it for me. If you need joy today, he's your joy. If you need peace today, he's the Prince of Peace. If you need deliverance today, oh, he'll deliver you. When Peter was on the water and he was getting ready to sink, Lord, do you not care? Yeah, he cares. You know what? I'm even going to say this. If you need a home today, there's a home in that box. If you need a family today, there's a family in that box. You need to be redeemed today, there's redemption in this box. Because this represents the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is what? Grace. Salvation. It is the gift of God. Now, I'm not here today to pass judgment on anybody because I don't know anybody's heart in this room except my own. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't think my salvation has been tested, you know what I mean? But I tell you what, my patience sure has been. Hello, somebody. I don't think my salvation's been tested. But I think they've been days that if I wasn't a Christian, it'd be tough, Pauline. It'd be hard. Because we're living in a cruel old world. I'm just glad we can come back to him. We can just come running back to him. Because he says, hey, I love you. I want to give you my best gift. My best. You don't get no better than Jesus. I want you to stand with me today. Short message from the preacher. I don't know what you need today. I have no idea. I don't know what anybody needs today. You say, well, preacher, I don't know that I've ever been saved. I don't know if I've ever been born again. We can fix that up today. Because that's why Jesus came. That's why he gave his life. That's why he died. You say, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, do what the Bible says. Believe. Put your faith and put your trust in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say, well, Pastor, I know all that, and I've been gone a long time. I've not been in church in several years now, and I don't even know if God would have me back now. I don't even have time to go into Luke 15, do I? Talking about the prodigal, I don't even have time to do that. He went a long way, didn't he? Spent all he had. Took him down a road he didn't want to go down. Finally, when he was gnarling on some old corn husk one day, and he looked a pig eyeball to eyeball, he thought, what in the world are you looking at? And that pig talked to him and said, I'm looking at you. Why don't you get up and go home? You're not supposed to be here. The Bible said that prodigal come to his senses, and he said, you know what, pig, I've had about all of you I can take. I'm going to the house. See, that's all you got to do. It's a gift. Bow your heads. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for the word of the Lord. That's a never-changing word. And I pray, oh God, even now, that right now, in the name of Jesus, that what anybody's going through in this room, what anybody's going through in this place, God, right now, that God, that you, Lord, would be the Lord of their life. I pray, God, whatever they're needing, whatever they have need of, that God, that you would sustain them this day. That God, that you would be their deliverer this day. Oh, Lord, we know that that's exactly what the Word of God says, that He is a deliverer. We believe you for that today. Father, I pray, God, that this message somehow or another would have sunk into people's hearts. That God, that you gave your very best gift when you gave Jesus. And Lord, I give you praise and thanksgiving for what you've done and what you've already done, what you're going to do. And I pray even, God, right now that you'd touch every heart and every life. Meet every need in the sanctuary, Father. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, let me just ask you a question today. If you're here today and you're not sure about where you're going to spend eternity, if there's any way I could say I beg of you, I would say I beg of you right now to make sure that your heart is ready to go to heaven. Right now, you say, well, how do I do that? The Bible just simply says, if you'll confess with your mouth, John 10, and believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. As Jody plays, I'm going to take a minute, and I want you to meditate on that. I want you just to take a minute and meditate on that. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Father, you know every heart. And Lord, if there be one here today that's not right with you, God, you said it's an unspeakable gift. Unspeakable, God. You can't even hardly explain it. You can't even hardly understand it. But God, it's what you've done. And I thank you for it. Maybe you're here today and you've drifted and you've wandered away from God. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm ready to come home to you. I'm ready to come back to you, Lord. I've been away from you, Lord. I want you just to forgive me. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to wash me. Maybe today life has been really difficult. The joy seems to be gone. The peace seems to be gone. Seems like you've been struggling just to put one foot in front of the other. Why don't you do as that prodigal did this morning and say, Lord, here am I. I'm coming home. Whatever needs to be done here today, don't run from Him. Don't leave this room today in a situation where your life with God is unsettled. But settle this with God today. Before you even leave this sanctuary, settle this thing with God. Settle this thing with God today. I just sincerely pray that God's wonderful gift of eternal life and salvation will not go in vain, that every person in this room, every person will say yes to what Jesus Christ has done for you. The only thing I can do is give the invitation, but you have to accept it. The only thing I can do is bring the gift, God says, but you have to accept it. And I pray you've done that today in this room. In Jesus' name. We will have church tonight at 6 o'clock. If you need prayer, I want you to feel free to come and we'll pray with you. Amen. Remember all the announcements that we made. God bless you. Thank you for being here. In Jesus' name.